Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kanes from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
1 Corinthians 16, you'll notice this is the last chapter in 1 Corinthians. And it's interesting, a lot of times we get to the last chapter and we think, okay, it's just going to say goodbye, see ya, and head on from there. And, you know, I was praying and asking the Lord to show me some things here. And I was amazed at how much is in chapter 16. So you might want to take a deep breath as we get into this chapter, because I found there's some amazing things here, amazing lessons for us. And this is cool to me, because as we go through the scriptures, a lot of times, you know, we're seeing things that a lot of people may not take time to really jump into. Usually when we have, you know, our own personal study, maybe if we're not going through the scripture, we have our favorite verses and our favorite passages we go to, and we may not take time to really look and meditate on a chapter like this. But I think you'll find there's some really good stuff here for us, some real meat for us to chew on. So in 1 Corinthians 16, we're going to start by reading the last verse of chapter 15, because I think we'll find that really ties in well with what he's going to show us here. The last verse in chapter 15 is verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that last phrase that says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain, I find in chapter 16, he's going to show us a number of these labors in the Lord that are not in vain. And it might sound redundant after a while, but I'm going to keep trying to add that last phrase on there, that they're not in vain, because that really needs to sink into us, I think. A lot of times we think we do things, and sometimes it may not be a very big thing, so we think it doesn't matter. But to the Lord, it really does matter. And that little phrase becomes very important. When you or I do anything for the Lord, it is not in vain. So let's take a look at, first of all, in chapter 16, verse 1. Now, about the collection for God's people, or you might have the word saints there, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. And they may have asked a question about this. Remember, Paul in this letter is answering some things that they had questions about. So there's a situation going on in Jerusalem. And the saints he's talking about here are those people in Jerusalem, and you'll see that later in the statements here that are made. What was going on? They were in a time of poverty and famine in Jerusalem. So the church in Jerusalem was really hurting, and they had some serious needs. So Paul was telling the churches as he was traveling around to take a collection to help meet the need of their brothers and sisters in Christ who are back at Jerusalem. So he's telling them about this collection, how to do the practical side of this, getting ready for it. He said, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And he was saying, you know, once the Lord prospers you, set something aside and have it ready to go, so when Paul gets there, they can get this off pretty quickly. And that's what he's going for here, because this is a real need in Jerusalem. They want to get the funds there. He said in verse 3, excuse me, then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. So Paul was simply saying that have the collection ready. I'll give you a letter of approval so the church knows that this is a real offering that's being given to them at Jerusalem, and there won't be any confusion about that. And Paul said, even if necessary, if it's you think it's best, then I will go with those guys as they take the money to Jerusalem. Okay, so here they are meeting a need of their brothers and sisters in Christ. So one of the first labors in the Lord that is not in vain I see here is giving to help Christians that are in need. And it has a real importance again to the Lord. I want you to see something back in Matthew chapter 10. If you look back there for a moment. And this is something that Jesus said to the disciples. Matthew chapter 10, and look down to verse 42. says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And the picture there is that even something that small of giving a little one this cup of water because that little one is a disciple of Jesus, even an act that's that small, the Lord said, will not go without reward. So the Lord tells us, you know, when we do these labors of the Lord, that they are not in vain. And the back in 1 Corinthians 16, when he says that we're meeting the needs of some Christian brother or sister, because it's a real need, and we're able to help them when we do that, when that occurs, the Lord's going to reward us for that. He's going to bless us, no matter how small it is, something that we might think is very insignificant. We might be surprised to see how many nursery workers and people that work with the children's group, you know, are going to be given rewards by the Lord for that faithfulness they've done. And a lot of times, we don't look at that as a real high-profile ministry, but to the Lord, all those things are extremely important, okay? So I noticed something here. Some people have said that the Lord has given some believers a lot of finances, and other believers he has not given many finances. And they think the reason for that is that we might have opportunity to share. We might have opportunity to show love. Because some people have asked, you know, well, if the Lord has all these funds, and he said he's got the cattle on a thousand hills, why doesn't he just give all of his children all the money, you know, kind of a thing. But if that were the case, we wouldn't have need for sharing, right? I mean, you've got your stuff, and I got my stuff, and you keep yours, and I'll keep mine. We'll all be happy with it, you know? But the Lord wants us to show that act of love to one another, and that happens if we have some who have excess and some who have lack, and the Lord has provided for that across the board. And that's what we see here. These churches that Paul is talking to, they have the funds, they can help out. So he doesn't back off at all when he says, I'd like you to take an offering here, and here's how you need to take the offering. Have it ready to go. And he gave them just a very practical way of doing it. He mentions first day of the week. We think that's when they were having their church services. It appears in the book of Acts that that's when the church started to get together on the first day of the week. So that's probably why that was mentioned there. Okay, the first labor of love then is giving to Christians that are in need, helping a Christian brother or sister in need. It doesn't even have to be giving of finances. It's just helping them with some need you see. All right, verse 5, he said, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, talking about coming to this church at Corinth, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. So I want you to notice something here. Paul has a plan laid out, but he's also flexible. And his being flexible is based on the Lord's will. You notice he said all these things he was hoping to do, and at the end of the verse he said, if the Lord permits, or Lord willing, is what he's getting at. If you want to look at James chapter 5 for a moment, that's is where we get the good instruction on this from James. And if you're familiar with the book of James, he's pretty pointed in the way he says some things. He's not wasting a lot of words getting the point across. In James chapter 5, if you look down to verse 13, I'm sorry, make that chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So the Lord lets us know that we need to be flexible. We need to be trusting in the Lord. We might have our plans laid out for what we would like to do, but we should still keep in the back of our mind that if the Lord changes our plans, it's okay. And it's kind of interesting if you follow through Paul's life, the plan he gave us there in 1 Corinthians 16, it didn't actually happen that way. He did have some changes in his plans. He doesn't follow through exactly with the map that he laid out for the folks here. So he was sure of what he wanted to do. He had his own plans, but he was flexible. Now, being flexible is one of the most important lessons to learn about serving the Lord. I know when I went to the men's ministry down at the Mardi Gras, I had a great picture of this being flexible. Here we were down there, and we had set up at night to do the praise band. And what they did, they'd go down on the streets of Mardi Gras and set up a praise band. So we would have our music going and real worship going on in those streets while folks just a little bit off were doing their partying and everything else. And the goal of this was to draw people to the music and then have opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. So here we set up one night, and we're all ready to go. I mean, they had the band all set up, had all the sound system, everything done, and they started to play. And we weren't out there maybe, I think, a half an hour. And all of a sudden, they started to shut everything down. And it was like 9 o'clock at night, okay? So at 9 o'clock at night, the party's just barely getting started down at the Mardi Gras. Well, the police had told us that we were not allowed to have a band playing, so they were shutting it down. Now, this is kind of wild if you're familiar with that area at all, because there are bands all over the place playing, you know, loud and partying all night long, and a lot of the bars have their doors open and music's blaring out of those things. So it wasn't really right. It wasn't fair for us to have to shut down the band, okay? But the leaders of our group that were down there, and there was a lot of guys in our group, the leaders were very sensitive to the Lord's leading, and they said, well, you know what? If the Lord wants us to shut it down, then he must have a reason for that. So they didn't fight the authority. They just went along with the program, and they shut everything down. They packed up the instruments, and they said, we'll just have a chance to talk to folks, and on the way out, we'll march out of the city. And as we march out, we'll get a chance to get home early tonight and get some rest, okay? That was their thinking. And again, it's just being flexible. That was not their plan for the night. For the night, they were planning on staying there till 11:30 and having the praise band and the worship and a chance to talk to people. So they went and followed the Lord's leading. Well, as we got everything packed up and started to walk out of the city there, started to march out, guess what happened? It started raining. And it was such a blessing that we had all the equipment packed up, no problem getting water on any electrical stuff that would have caused some real damage for things. So I just thought, wow, this is so cool. These leaders were sensitive to what the Lord was doing. And when the authorities came and said, you guys need to shut down, even though to us it didn't seem right or fair, you know, they went ahead and went with the program. And it's so awesome to have that, to see the Lord bless when we do things His way, okay? We did get a chance to go back and witness to folks, and there were people who got saved, and it was a good time. But it was interesting just seeing this picture in action, being flexible. And that lesson has really made a statement to me, you know, because if you're like me, you like to have your plans laid out, and you like to know what you're going to do, and you like to follow through with the plans. But when they don't happen, when something gets in the way, we might be wise to step back and say, well, this is our plan if the Lord wills, you know. If it's His timing, then it'll happen. If not, then it won't. And that's the smartest thing we can do, is say, if the Lord wills, and go from there. Okay? Now let's jump back to 1 Corinthians 16 in verse 8. He says, but I will stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Now, I love this verse because it's one of these shocker verses that you have in the New Testament. What would you expect that verse to say? You would expect it to say, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are so many blessings that are coming because of it. That's what we would expect to see there, but that's not what it says. He said there's a great work that's going on, and he said, and there are many who oppose me. And Paul's excited about this. So it's kind of interesting. Now, here's what I noticed. This is a labor in the Lord that is not in vain. This is another one of those labors. And it is serving the Lord in an area where He has opened the door, even if there's a lot of opposition. Okay? So we shouldn't look at opposition as a really bad thing. We need to look at the door that's open. And we do that work and we stay there until the Lord says the door's closed. Now, this isn't an easy thing to do at times, and it's not a fun thing to do at times. I've been in a ministry before where it seemed like there was a whole lot of opposition, and you're thinking, Lord, I know you've got me here, and I know you placed me here, but I don't understand all this opposition that's coming. You know, and you just hang in there with all of that until the Lord says it's time to close the door and go another direction. And this is what we see Paul doing here? He says, man, I've got to stay at this place because there's a great big open door. And then he said, and there's also all kinds of persecution come my way, a lot of people against me. And, you know, that's a good thing for us. I think our American culture sometimes sways us on these things. We think everything should be positive, 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 let's go, go, go kind of a thing. But realize when the Lord opens the door, it may not be in the most pleasant area. You know, he might allow you to do some work somewhere where it's not a lot of fun. You have a lot of people opposing you. You have a lot of opposition happening. And if that's the case, hey, if the door is open, if that's where the Lord wants you, then you're right where you're supposed to be. So don't be discouraged by the opposition. Just take that as, okay, Lord, I guess you're strengthening me by the trials, and I'm going to hang in there with you, and I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Like I said, I've been in a ministry before where the Lord laid in my heart to go to this ministry and work here and to take his love to that place because they didn't have it. And that was a hard place to go. I was thinking, Lord, why don't you just give me a nice fluffy ministry where it's all love, 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 and I can and just enjoy that, you know. And Lord said, no, that's not where we're going right now. Right now I need you to be at this place where there's going to be opposition, a lot of opposition, and you take my love there. And you just stand there with my love, and that's what you do. So hang in there. I tell you what, it's cool to have gone through those places and know the Lord's with you. That's such an awesome blessing to know he's there. If he's placed you there, you're right where you're supposed to be. Okay? Let's go to verse 10. He now tells him, if Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now, that phrase there where it says, no one should refuse to accept him, the idea there is that don't despise him, don't look down on him. Now, what we know about Timothy is that he was very young. So here is this very young guy who's going to show up at this church, and we don't know for sure. So he might be one of them that's bringing a letter to them from Paul or something, but he is saying, Timothy is doing the work of the Lord just like I am. And other places in the scripture where Paul talks about Timothy, he had a lot of respect for him. Although he was a young guy, he was sold out for the Lord. And Paul was saying, this is my true disciple here. This guy has the same heart that I have. So he says, when Timothy shows up, don't despise him. Don't look down on him. Don't give him any reason to fear. He said, you take care of him while he's there. And when he leaves, you send him away in peace that he can come back to me. And he said, I'm expecting him to return. So here I see the third labor in the Lord that is not in vain. And here it is, receiving those who do the Lord's work. And don't look at their outward appearance. Look at their heart, if possible. Okay? I've heard this said before. When it comes to like relationship with other denominations, and we know there are some denominations that we might look at and say, wow, their doctrine is really light, you know, they've really removed some things that should be there. They're really not following closely with the Lord. So as a denomination, you might see a whole group of people that really don't stand much for the things of the Lord. But we better be careful tagging every single church that way that's in that denomination, because it depends on the pastor. And, you know, I learned that early in ministry, it really does depend on the pastor. Some of the churches that I was affiliated with, the one in particular, the most of the people in that group had gone to the liberal side of things, where they were not really teaching the word, they weren't into the word at all, and because we were with that group, they thought we were like that also. Well, we were still teaching the word, we were still standing on the word of God, and we hadn't swayed on that at all, but we were one of the few in that group who had not done that. So I found out the hard way one time when I was invited to do a funeral from someone out of town. And they called me thinking I was with this large group of churches that were all kind of wishy-washy in their views. And when I showed up to do the funeral, I was presenting the gospel and presenting the word to them. And I got some very hard looks from the people because they weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting the love, 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 everything's okay, we're all happy people. God loves you and you don't have to do anything. You just keep doing what you're doing and you're cool. And and God will love you anyway, and not mentioning sin or anything like that. So when I got to present the gospel, of course, I had to speak about sin and our need for a Savior and things like that, and I got some very hard looks from the people. And it really does depend on the pastor. You know, if the pastor of the group there is in love with the Lord and walking with the Lord, you're going to see a different leadership in that group. So when we see an example like this with Timothy, from the outward appearance, he doesn't appear to be the man of God. He appears to be a very young guy, somebody that you might not expect to be in leadership, somebody that looks like he's still a little wet behind the ears. And when he comes, Paul said, you better not pay attention to that. You need to look at his heart and listen to what I'm telling you. This guy is serving the Lord just like I am serving the Lord. Okay? So one of the things we're going to see Paul getting into right here is he's trying to get them into the picture of unity in the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that every church is going to be in unity, because some of us are holding to the Word of God and some of us are not. But the point is, the true body of Christ needs to be together. Let me remind you again of something he said back in chapter 1. If you want to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and see this with me. In verse 10. And there were some problems going on in this church. So, you know, I could see from 1 Corinthians here, if this church didn't listen to Paul, what he was going to say, we're going to break up into a whole bunch of different denominations coming right out of this church because they had their problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And again, it's an appeal for unity in the true body of Christ. And I say that among the true believers. The Lord wants us to know that we're on the same team. We may not be in the same church. Our churches may have differences in doctrinal views. But as far as true believers, the Lord is saying we should be on the same page. And we should realize that we're on the same team. So coming back here in 1 Corinthians again, that third labor in the Lord that I see that is not in vain is the one of receiving those who are doing the Lord's work. And if that person is loving the Lord and they're doing the things of the Lord in the Lord's way, we're supposed to receive that brother without looking at any outward things there. Okay? Now look at verse 12. Back in 1 Corinthians 16. Now about our brother Apollos. So apparently the Corinthian church had asked about Apollos and asked, when is he coming? When are you going to send him to us? Okay, so Paul's going to answer that. He said, now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has opportunity. So Paul was saying that, look, I talked to Apollos. I really tried to get him to come to your church. He's not coming right now. He said he's got apparently other things to do here. So he said that if the opportunity comes, he will be there. But right now, he won't be there. Okay? So this is to let the church know that Paul's doing his part, is trying to minister to them. He's trying to get somebody in there that they respect, apparently, and they want to learn from. But he couldn't get him to come. Verse 13, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Now, those are pretty simple statements, but you know what? Paul is saying, I want you to do these things until I get there, because Paul was hoping to come to their church. And if you want to know some basic things of what we can be doing as believers until the Lord returns, it's right there. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, and be strong, and do everything in love. Now, part of that, I think, is a warning against some false teachers that were going around, because it says, be on guard and stand firm in the faith. But just like back then, we still got people today that are false teachers. So we've really got to stay in the Word of God and check, is what this person, they're telling me, is it in alignment, is it in agreement with the Word of God? Okay, so we got to be very careful with those things. So he says, be on your guard. Then he says, stand firm in the faith. Don't let anyone sway you from the Word. Okay? They might show you something and say, the Lord showed me this. The Lord revealed this to me. If it doesn't agree with the Word, you better be very careful and reject that one. Okay? Because there are cults out there who will tell you, the Lord showed me this. The Lord revealed this to me. And it doesn't agree at all with Scripture. that is not from the Lord. Okay? So be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Then he said, be men of courage, be strong. And I think the warning there is against the persecutions and the pressures that might come. And I know it might be a little quiet right now in our society, but there is a strong undercurrent coming that we're going to have some pressure put on us as Christians. There's a kind of a spiritual battle, seems like, going on in our nation right now. We've got some legal groups who are fighting for Christian rights, you know, and for things that the Lord has blessed us with. But there's also a strong tide coming the other way, trying to point the finger at us as being narrow-minded, as being intolerant and unloving and unkind and all those things. So you might sense that the pressure is going to build against us, even in the court systems. So we need to be prepared for that. Be men of courage, be strong, not get away from the Word of God simply because our society is making a worse turn for the evil there. Then he gives us the key in verse 14. Do everything in love. And that is I know it's a little phrase, and we kind of read past these things, but this is probably one of the most important statements he's making in this whole chapter. Because if you think about it, every labor in the Lord that we've looked at so far here, every labor of the Lord was really an act of love. And that's what the Lord's telling us to do when he says to serve him. He's telling us to love. Because notice this, giving to meet the needs of hurting Christians. That's a labor of the Lord that's spoken of here in this chapter. That's an act of love because we care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we want to do that. Also this one, receiving those who do the Lord's work. That's an act of love too. You know, not being judgmental or despising people, looking down on them, but actually receiving them. Serving in an open door area where there's a lot of opposition. That's an act of love also because you're trying to get...
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will